Welcome, everybody. It's Elaine. It is Wednesday, February 22nd, 2017. It is the 3 p.m. Eastern Time PSS call, Parents of Younger Kids. And we have already done check-ins. I sort of neglected to turn on the recording earlier. So we're going to move on to taking aim and see where we are from there. So who wants to start? Tammy?
Okay, I always feel like I'm new. So taking aim, what does that mean exactly?
Sort of identifying what topic or challenge you want to focus on in the next couple of weeks. Where do you want to turn your attention? What's one change? Sometimes I ask the question, what's the change you want to see that you want to focus on next?
I've been trying, it's less about the boys and more about me managing my anger. That's been kind of my, that's something I know I need to work on and not just around other people. You know, when I'm at home, and I can totally lose my crap and really work on not doing that.
So you want to focus on sort of staying calm and not getting triggered.
Yes.
Any particular time that you tend to get triggered where you could target it a little bit more?
Yes, when I'm told no, which seems to be
when
constant.
When you're told no.
Yes.
I just have to make the observation because it just clicked. It's like, how often do I hear parents say, well, the change I want to see is I want my kid to stop reacting when they hear the word no. And you just, like, clicked it for me. Like, we do the same thing, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
That's
I do.
Great.
I have.
Yeah. Okay. So you want to focus on not getting triggered when you're told no.
Correct.
Awesome. Okay. Mark, what about you?
I'd have to say... just, I don't know, feeling what he's feeling, you know. He'll always say things after I've laid into him about something, and then it's like, oh, well, yeah, okay, I hear you now. So just, you know, listening more and not reacting, not being triggered, you know.
So I want to ask you the same question. So it's not reacting when what?
You know, I'm doing pretty good about not reacting to his defiance. I let a lot of it go.
Good.
But, you know, there's still times when it bugs me. But actually, a good thing last night, he wanted to learn how to weld. So we get everything set up, and I'm trying to show him how to weld, and he just starts to want to play with it. And I'm telling him, I said, you know, it's dangerous. You can kill yourself. It's not a toy.
Yeah.
And at one point, he was trying to strike an arc, and he did a little bit, and then he hit this other piece of metal. And I told him, I said, you're like the dog on Up, the movie Up, where he's talking, and he's, you know, squirrel. And it's like, dude, you got to try to focus on the thing you're doing and stop thinking about other things and stop being distracted, because you'll never learn how to do this one thing right if you keep on getting distracted. And, you know, he comes back, well, you know, it's not fun when I'm doing stuff with you because you're always trying to tell me how to do it. And it's like, yeah, because you don't know how to do it, you know. And so we just go back and forth, and then finally I'm fed up with it. And I say, you know, just forget it. We'll try another time. So, you know, maybe not with welding, but with other things, just let him do what he's doing, you know. He'll figure it out.
So not reacting when he's – there's something here about when he's trying to learn something. So what I'm hearing you saying is that you're trying to teach him something. And now in that case, I get welding – take welding out of it because nobody wants to get killed, right? I get that. But it sounds like there's this larger issue of him sort of experimenting with something and you wanting to teach him something. Does that resonate?
Yeah. And I understand it because I'm kind of the same way. It's like, let me just do it and I'll figure it out. But, you know, if I could just get him to learn the basics, and I tell him it's fundamentals, learn the basics, understand the basics, and then do all the fancy stuff you want to do. You know, then go figure it out. But at least you've got the basics down and you're getting, you know, you've got a good foundation. Otherwise, you're going to learn the wrong way and you're never going to figure it out. So
there's sort of two things here, Mark. One is you could take aim on actually finding a way to help to come to an agreement with him about when it's time to learn the basics. And the other is about you sort of letting go and allowing him to experiment with things. And those are actually sort of two different things.
Yeah, I hear you.
They relate, but they're two different things. Which of those do you feel like is more important for you right now?
Well, I guess thinking about where he is developmentally, I'd probably say just let him play, let him have the fun. But at some point, you know, it's like, okay, fun time's over. You got to really learn how to do this right.
All right. So really the place to focus right now is allowing him to play without always feeling the need to teach him something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And this, and I just want to acknowledge that this is something we all struggle with. I'm confident the other parents on the call are nodding their heads, right? Like, because we know our job is to teach them. And yet, if we're always trying to teach them, they're going to get defensive because they're tired of always having to learn. And sometimes what you're saying is sometimes you just got to be with them and not have it to try to be too significant or tutelage or anything, but just be with them.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Usually it's after the fact when you know, we've blown up at each other, then it's like I realize it's like, God, I wish I could just let him play, you know, let him do what he wants to do.
Yeah, got it. So. Okay. So for you, it may be about recognizing it before you know, it's like recognizing what's triggering you about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Julie, what about
The evening times have really been hard, and I know I already identified one potential solution, but I think that there's more to that.
Okay.
Other parts, so I'm not sure how to focus in on something for that kind of evening time.
Is there? Can you be more specific about what's hard?
Well, there's just kind of between the kids, there's a lot of back and forth arguing, and then between Logan and both of us, there's a lot of back talk and attitude given.
Mm-hmm. So is it helping Logan shift how he's reacting when he's triggered, or is it about sort of how do we diffuse the sibling stuff that's happening when he's triggered?
Oh, gosh. I think if we helped him to figure out how to calm himself down and not react in general, then that would carry over to all of us in the whole evening and his friends and school and all that. So that's probably where I need to focus is helping him not react when he's frustrated.
Well, and that was my next question is, what's he reacting to? Is it tired? Is it frustrated? Is it hungry? Is it angry? What do you think it is?
I think it's frustration that he's not in control. He wants to be in control of the situation. He wants to choose the TV.
That's
he
great.
Wants to choose the dinner. He wants to. So when he's not in control, helping him to be okay with that.
Okay, so help him manage his emotional reactivity when he's frustrated and feeling out of control.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. Nice job, everybody, with taking aim. It was really, like, really got – I hope for you, because it's sort of clear from this end, but I hope from that end, just getting that clarity of where you've taken aim can sort of begin to shift the process because it helps you see what the changes that you really want to see sort of steps out of our own frustration and into what's the change, right? right? So today's topic is a beautiful topic for all of these areas, actually, because we're going to talk about compassion. And, you know, last time we talked about acknowledgement and validation, and you've heard us talk about the ACE principle or process or strategy or whatever. And, you know, we sort of look at acknowledgement and compassion as a, you know, as a 1-2 punch in a good way, right? I actually think that they are the foundational pieces of empathy, is that when you add acknowledgement and compassion to each other, that's where you get empathy. So we're sort of building on that. Before you get to any kind of problem solving, you want to start with that recognition of what's their perspective, where they're coming from, like we talked about last time. And then you want to find your connection to it, your compassion for what's going on for your kids, for what the challenge, or for yourself, frankly. I mean, this is not just about our kids, but it's also about having compassion for the fact that we're having rough evenings and we have to be gentle with ourselves, or the fact that you're trying different meds and you really hoped that you'd have something by now and you don't, and that's really frustrating. And, you know, there's lots of things happening in our lives every day that leave us feeling frustrated. And sometimes we have that tendency to beat ourselves over the head a little bit and say, why couldn't I, or if I just. And so compassion is not just about our kids. It's about finding a way of understanding and being supportive of ourselves and our kids in terms of recognizing that what's going on, it really is hard, you know, it really is challenging or difficult or frustrating, and that those are legitimate feelings. And so compassion is really about finding a way to connect to those legitimate feelings, to validate them, and sort of building on that to let the people in our lives know that we get what's going on for them, because we can connect it to some experience we've had at some point in some time. You know, and a lot of what each of you have said of different ways is really recognizing. I mean, I heard a lot of compassion already on the call today, recognizing what's going on for your kids, what's hard for them, right? When he just wants to play, or he's feeling out of control, or you know, he's having meltdowns, like you were saying earlier, Tammy. There's just, you get that that's a hard place for them to be, and that they're not behaving the way they want to behave. They're reacting, and they don't have a sense of control. So I want to just stop. I don't want to lecture a lot. I really want to have a conversation, because we've got a nice, conscious, small group of sort of what's showing up for you in this conversation about compassion. What are you noticing?
That it's always after the fact that I think of it.
Yeah.
So that it's hard to connect to it when you're in the thick of it, you remember it afterwards.
Right.
Yeah. What reminds you of it?
Oh, the sad look on his face.
Pretty
much.
The sad look on his face.
Yeah. Or he'll say, you know, he often says, you know, when do I get to win?
Oh, yeah, that hurts.
Yeah. We'll have an argument or discussion or whatever, and, you know, when do I get to win the argument? And my response is always, when you present a good argument, you know. Like, I don't want to just let you win to let you win. And it's not about winning, but, you know, he has presented good arguments in the past where I've changed my mind on things. But he doesn't remember that he does win the argument sometime when he presents a good argument. But still, I mean, there are things that, you know, I could let it slide, or I could just let him win, and it, you know, all would be well. But then I think, well, he's not really learning anything by me just letting him win an argument. You know, he's going to think he's going to win every, he has to win every argument now, because even if his argument's bad and he won, it's like it doesn't matter what the argument is, I still won, you know. So I should win, whether I have a good argument or bad. It's like, no, you need to have a good argument.
Well, it just, it ties right back into your topic of wanting to make sure he's learning something.
Well, it's,
right.
Yeah, but it's, that's a foundational, I mean, you know, we've got all these, the snowflakes now that are entitled to everything. And it's like, I don't want him to think that, you know, just because he argued, he should get his way. It's like, no, if you're going to argue something, make a good argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I teach him, if I'm teaching him now that just arguing gets you your way, then he's going to argue about everything just to get his way. And when he doesn't, he's going to, you know, he's going to have a meltdown.
So when you see that look on his face, tell me what's happening. What's the compassion that's showing up for you?
Well, one is I don't like to see him hurting. But I don't know. I just don't, you know, that's my boy. I don't want to see him hurting.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't want to just give him everything. You know, like I said, there are times when, you know, his argument might not be the best argument, but it's a pretty good argument, and I'll go with it.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's arguing about, you know, brushing his teeth, it's like, son, you're not going to win that. You need to brush your teeth.
Yeah, well, and that's not, and I don't think anybody's saying, so maybe that's a great example, actually, because it's not that he doesn't need to brush his teeth, but what happens when you find compassion for the fact that he doesn't want to brush his teeth? That feels overwhelming or out of control or hard for him. Brushing our teeth is this huge issue. Diana and I laugh about it because we hear it all the time, right?
Okay.
So
what do you
understand about what's going on for him developmentally that would help you have some compassion for why he might not want to brush his teeth?
Well, I need to, first of all, I don't think it's developmentally. I think he's just lazy and doesn't want to brush his teeth.
Because now, what do you know about your kid and lazy?
I know he's very lazy about everything. He doesn't want to do anything except what he wants to do.
Because
that's what he wants to do.
Because that's how his brain is wired. That is part of the neurological makeup of the way his brain is wired, is that if he doesn't have a motivator, that he doesn't have a just get it. So that is a classic defining feature of a kid with ADHD, is they only do what they want to do. They won't do anything they don't want to do. And the adults with ADD struggle with, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I have such a hard time getting myself to do what I need to do.
Right.
So that, I mean, that's just sort of a classic definition almost. So if you look at it as neurological instead of naughty or lazy, what shifts for you?
Well, I guess I'd have to figure out ways to entice him to do it. Yeah.
Okay.
What's the reward for getting it done?
So when you see it as neurological and not lazy, right? And I like the example of brushing the teeth. When you see it as like, well, there's a motor coordination, it requires getting up or stopping what you're doing, it's boring, maybe I just had dessert and I don't want that taste. I mean, there's, you know, when you get curious, there's probably a million reasons why in that moment he doesn't want to do it, right?
Yeah.
How does compassion play in for you? Does that make it easier to find compassion for what he doesn't, his feeling about it?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are times when, you know, it'll be something that I'll tell him to do and he won't want to do it. And, you know, I do recognize, yeah, it's his brain talking. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll let it slide and we'll get to it later. Or, you know, I'll try to think of some way to motivate him to do it. know, there are just some things that need to be done that if he doesn't do it now, he's not going to do it till the morning, and he's not going to do it in the morning, so we're going to go 3 days without him brushing his teeth, and that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, so there's some things that have to be done now. So, and I want to open this up to others to jump in here for a minute. So when we go to our kids and say, you just have to, what's different when you say, man, I know you don't want to, I'm so sorry you have to, but this has got to get done? How does that shift what's happening for him and his experience?
I think it takes away the power struggle, depending on how it's posed. It can kind of...
Say a little more.
It can, instead of, I'm telling you what to do, I'm in control, just like I was saying that he wants to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
We can, in some way, maybe there's a way to let him choose what time. Because I know that's what he wants. He wants to be in control of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's because of the way his brain is or just his personality, it's damn hard to remember in the moment, but we got to remember that.
So tell me about the compassion that you feel for that feeling he's having of being out of control.
Well, I understand the feeling because that's how I get when in my life, in my mind. And so I think I can share with him some of the things that I do to help me feel more in control when I'm feeling out of control.
But before you get to offer you, Julie, is to share with him that you know how it feels when it feels out of control.
Yeah,
right?
I know how it feels. I don't like it either.
The compassion is actually about sharing that you get how it must feel for him.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the piece that they so often feel like, you just don't get it, Mom or Dad. You don't remember
right.
what it's like to be a kid. It's been too long. You don't understand. And the compassion is your access point for them to get that you might actually get them.
Yeah.
Right? So before you get to here's how I handle it, I hate it when I feel out of control.
Right.
Right. And you can do it with laughter and joking, or you can do it seriously, or, you know, it depends on the scenario. But, you know, if we're the control freaks in the family instead of he's the control freak in the family,
mm-hmm.
that gives him a connection point and a comrade and a, you know, sort of normalizes that experience because it is normal for him and it is normal for you. You've had to
right.
learn how to manage it.
Yes. Sometimes
right?
better than others, right, Mark?
Exactly. Right? I mean, this is our new normal. We
yeah.
have kids who struggle with control and frustration intolerance and emotional reactivity. That's how they're wired. And when we connect with them by realizing we struggle with it too, and yeah, we've learned how to manage it better than they have or more, you know, over the years or whatever, maybe we have, maybe we haven't, but you're working on it. That ability for them to see they're not the only ones who feel that way, that you feel it too, that's where that's the power in the compassion. They're no longer crazy or lazy. They're having a hard time, and we're going to help them.
Right.
Because we get it. Because we have that same hard time sometimes too. Tammy, what's coming up for you?
Well, I've actually been trying to be more compassionate.
Yeah,
and,
how's it working for you?
Well, you know, it's a hit or miss. But this morning, and it's, you know, it's, I guess it's kind of ironic that it was right during, you know, brushing your teeth time.
Right.
Because basically walked him into the bathroom to brush his teeth because, you know, his focus every day, all day long when he is home, is to be on a video game, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
That is his focus. He wakes up, he wants to get on it, and he wants to be on it 24/7. And so I was trying, as I walked him back there, and I, after he got done brushing his teeth, I sat there and talked to him about, in a compassionate way, you know, I don't mind if you play video games, but we have things that we have to do first. And
mm-hmm.
I asked him what those things were, and he could list them off, and that was all good. And we had a big hug, and that, I mean, it was kind of telling, because I was waiting for the hug to end. I wasn't going to be the one to end the hug. It lasted a long, long time.
Aww.
So he just needed, he needed that. He needed that hug.
Mm-hmm.
He needed that compassion, because right now I just feel triggered all the time. And
mm-hmm.
the compassion thought, like many of the other people have said, comes afterwards. And it's hit or miss. And I don't know. I get it. I think it's what needs to happen. I need to remind myself more often that it is the way he is wired. This isn't necessary. It is defiance, but it's not literal. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's not him trying to be defiant. It is just the priorities in his little brain are so different.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying
yeah,
to remember.
It's not willful disrespect and rudeness. It's trying to have some control over himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean,
but
that seems to be the theme that comes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So what I've heard all of you say in different ways is that when you connect to that compassion, that it really helps. It changes the conversation. So, and Diane was sharing with me that in a previous call this week, they had this whole conversation about how powerful it is to pause, just like you said in that hug, to pause after you bring compassion to a conversation and just let it land, right? Let it be there. Let them feel it. Let them feel seen and heard and regarded, because that's really what it's about. And what I hear all of you pointing to is how do you recognize it before you miss the window? Does that resonate?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So let's look there at what's happening. If any one of you, because you're all dealing with the same issue, right? Different manifestations of the same issue. Because you know the compassion works, you want to bring the compassion, you see the results you can get when you do, you don't want to hurt the feelings that what happens when you miss that window of opportunity. So what's the window of opportunity? What does that look like? See if you can identify it for yourselves.
I think sometimes it's after the fact, only because you can reflect with them on what happened, and
mm-hmm.
you can say, oh, it really made me think this, that maybe this is hard for you, and I want you to know I love you, or I understand, and I've been through that, and it's in the moment, it's hard to see, because we want them to go brush their teeth. it's hard to stop the train and say, oh, well, wait a minute, I feel compassionate about this right now. And so that feels kind of forced.
Mm-hmm. So what happened today for you, Tammy, when you walked him back to brush his teeth? Without getting triggered?
Well, I could go to work without beating myself up.
No, before it, I want to really deconstruct the actual experience of what happened. Like, what was going on when instead of going, just go brush your freaking teeth, You say, come on, let's walk back and go get your teeth done. What happened?
You mean why was I able to do that?
Yeah, what happened in the dynamic that you were able to connect to that compassion?
Well, I recognize that I started out with anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess subliminally told myself, I don't want to do this. I don't want to start my morning out yelling. And so I took a different route, and it paid off.
So there was a little self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little redirecting of yourself, right?
Absolutely.
So you went down a path, and you stopped yourself and redirected.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I woke up kind of that way because I decided that I was going to let him sleep, but I was going to give him his meds and let him lay back down so that they could have a chance to work. So that our morning would be better, because I've noticed, just like her evenings are bad, my mornings are not great. And giving the meds a little sooner. I mean, I was conscientious. I guess I'm conscientious all the time, but sometimes I'm just overwrought with emotions. I don't stop to think.
Yep. Okay, so part of it is you're starting to shift your mindset as you approach the dynamics with them, right?
Yeah.
And so the message I heard you tell yourself was, I don't want it to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And maybe the question here for everyone is to identify what's the message that you tell yourself that redirects you, that brings you back to that acknowledgement and compassion, right? One strategy could be using curiosity, right? When they behave in such a way, instead of reacting to it, we can get curious about what's going on. You know, what is happening for him? I hear you, Julie, talking about recognizing that he's got this sense of this feeling out of control, which is something you can totally do. So there may be a message for you that you know, a mantra you tell yourself. Sometimes I'll have parents actually write something you're going to tell yourself and put it up around the house in different places as sort of to remind yourself of the message. Like, you know, oh, this is hard. Or... I can do it, I'm sort of making up silly ones because you want something that the kids won't know what it means necessarily. Or, you know, you might write a control freak with a circle and a line through it and put it on your, you know, bathroom sink for a while.
Yeah,
right?
That's good. Mark would like that.
I'll put it on my forehead every time she looks at it.
There you go. But I think it might be helpful for each of you to identify something that you can say to yourself. And what's really jumping out at me, Mark, for you is there's this inner conflict between I want him to learn this stuff, and I don't want to hurt him. I want him to learn it on his pace, but I want him to learn it, right?
Yep.
And so for you, it may not be as – it may be something like he's going to learn all of this in his time, or some message that you tell yourself to remind yourself that he's on his path and he may not be where you want him to be yet.
Right.
But he'll get there, right?
Yeah.
Is that resonating for people, that notion of having something that you say to yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I think if there's a way to sort of, like you said, make it a mantra, it'll help with the out the ready instead of, oh, crap, I should have done that. I should have put up that mantra. If I'm refreshing my memory with it all the time, then it's there. It's always there ready in the moment.
Yeah, it's like exercising a muscle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what I'm hearing all of you say is you get the value of compassion and you're trying to do it and you see the value when it works, but you're catching it a little late. And so I think what we're talking about is how do we catch it a little earlier?
Yep.
Here. So if we go back to the behaviors each of you identified, right? So Julie, you were talking about managing his emotional reactivity when he's frustrated and feeling out of control. And Mark, you were talking about, you know, allowing him to play when you feel like there's something he should be learning. And Tammy, for you, it was about, you know, when he looks at you and says no, is not reacting to that. For each of those scenarios, what's one thing that you can say to yourself that can reconnect you to that ACE, to acknowledgement and compassion for what their experience is? Because in some ways, all of what you're talking about is about not taking it personally. It's about not having it be about me for a minute. Let's go back over there to what's going on with him.
I was actually having this conversation with myself and my son last night. I don't know if it's not actually this conversation, but I told him, because he was, you know, harping on me about things, you know, whatever he was wanting or needing at the time, and I was telling him he had to be patient and just wait and stop yelling and arguing. And I'm like, I could just write this script. It's a day, it's every day the same thing over and over. It's Groundhog's Day. And as you're talking, I think to myself, I am the difference maker. How I choose to react or what I choose to say or do may be the only thing that will change the script. Maybe it'll change the script, maybe it won't change the script, but who has the better ability to actually do that? And some days I don't feel like I do have the better ability, but, you know, I know that is something I need to work on. I need to have that rubber band on my wrist that I snap that says, you know, do different. Do, you know, click out of your normal response and do something different.
So I love what you just said so much. And the question I have is, what does compassion offer you to change the way you're responding, to stop reacting and start responding?
Now, say that one more time.
What does compassion offer you as a vehicle to change the way you're responding? So you know he's going to start harping on you every night, same thing, Groundhog's Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's irritating. And tell me about the compassion you feel for what his experience is in that moment.
Well, you cut out a little bit, so I'm not sure if I heard everything, but it's not excusing it, but it's just understanding that I think what you said earlier, it's not personal, even though the trigger feels so personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always the one, generally the one that it's directed at.
Right.
So just using my brain to understand it better, that it is not a personal attack on me, rather something he is going to take time for him to learn to manage.
Mm-hmm. So, and tell me about the compassion you feel for what that must be like for him.
I don't know if I've felt it. I feel so disconnected sometimes, like, you know, he's an adopted child. He is my son. I feel that, but I mean, there is definitely, I think the bond gets you know, kind of shattered with all this, all the yelling and the fighting and the tug of war, basically. And so I realized in myself, you know, to myself that there, I have to have compassion. I have to try to understand. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure if I'm hitting, if I'm understanding.
I think what you've hit is really powerful, which is that you're having a hard time feeling the compassion. And that's that's legitimate, Tammy. That's not, and I don't, I want to say it really clearly, I don't think it's because he's adopted, because I hear that from parents of natural born kids all the time.
No, right? I feel that same type of thing sometimes because it's just maddening. It is like Groundhog's Day. And so I totally understand how sometimes there is very little compassion for them.
Yeah.
I mean, sadly, I feel guilt over feeling that way, but it's hard.
Yeah. So that, to me, what comes up from that is really that the homework here for all of you is to reconnect, to really, really do some maybe journaling or thinking or talking with each other or exploring, like, what do you feel compassion for them about, right? It's a reconnect to what it is about their struggle. Because, yes, they're causing you, it's a pain in the neck to you, right? And they're doing it because they're having a really hard time. And intellectually, you know that. So the task here, it sounds like, is emotionally to connect to that so that you can say, man, I know that you really want to play those video games now, and it, every single night you want to, and I totally get why you want to, and I'm sorry you can't do that yet, and I really wish that was something you could do every day and not have to do anything else, and, right? When you can connect with it, but it's hard and it's valid that it's a struggle for all of you to connect with it, right?
I feel like I get pushback on that a little bit, too. I have tried, because I think we talked about this 2 weeks ago, you know, trying to be more compassionate. And I really feel like I have been. I mean, it's not all the time, but I have been trying that. You know, I'm sorry, or trying to be empathetic and compassionate about, you know, what's going on for them. I get a little pushback, and I'm not sure if I'm handling that right, because, like, you know, I'm sorry. I know you've been working all day at school. You want to come home and play, but there's certain things we have to do. You know, well, you just want me to do what you want me to do, and, you know, and I feel like I don't know if I'm being heard. So maybe I'm not saying it right. Maybe it's just overload. I don't know on their part. But
like us, you need to say it 5,000 more times. So because we aren't heard a lot of the time either. And so I would encourage you to keep trying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think part of it is, you know, you can say it, but you're not in a position to hear it in that moment.
Right.
So there are two things that are happening when you get to that place of compassion, right? One is that it can diffuse them. The other is it can diffuse you.
Mm-hmm.
And so on some level, Tammy, it almost doesn't matter if he hears you or not, if it's keeping you from blowing up. Right?
Good point. Yes. Mm-hmm.
He will eventually hear it as you stop blowing up and he stops waiting for that explosion or trying to create the explosion, because he's gotten into this great habit of triggering you and then letting you blow, and then it's all about you and it doesn't have to be about him anymore.
Yeah.
Right? So he's got a nice little method going, and you are the one, as you say, that has to break that cycle. And so it may take a while for him to really recognize that fence isn't moving before he takes a different approach or does something different. But in your case,
I think
finding this compassion is really about keeping you from blowing up. Go ahead, you were going to say.
Well, I think I've been having that conversation in my head a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That I just have to be the one to remain calm here. And
Hey, I've got to hop off the call, but thanks for a great call today.
I'm glad you were here. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, we're sort of at the end of time, but those of you who are remaining, do you want to sort of wrap it up for yourself? What are you taking away from today? And is there a commitment you want to make to action?
I would say, go ahead.
No,
go Tammy ahead. First and then Mark.
Okay. I would just say, I mean, it's reassuring to hear from other parents and from you that I guess perseverance really is the answer. Keep trying, keep using the compassion, the ACE, and don't give up even when you're feeling a little defeated on it. Keep trying. I'm gonna keep using it. I'm gonna keep trying.
Good. Okay. And what I want to encourage you to think about is maybe that this is about trying now, not for him, but for you for a while.
Yeah.
And see what that offers when you notice, how does it help you feel differently?
Okay.
Mark, what about you?
Try to think ahead instead of, proactive instead of reactive. You see the argument building, you see it coming. And just telling myself, this too shall pass. It's all in his head. I want the best for him. And so I think that's why sometimes I push him, and I tell myself afterwards, it's like, maybe I shouldn't push him.
So what do you want to say to yourself?
Let it go. Just don't worry about it so much. Just let it go. Everything will work out.
Will that really work for you?
It does, yes, actually.
Okay.
That's
so maybe it's a question to pose to yourself. Is this a time I need to let it go, or I want to let it go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing with Logan is he's very manipulative, and, if you give in on something, he'll remember what happened, and he'll try to use it again. And so a lot of it is just trying to not let him do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's very good at it.
And I guess what I would encourage you to remember is that manipulation is a desperate grab for control.
Yeah.
Because he feels out of control.
Yeah.
So what I would offer you is that remind, the compassion around, wow, it's really hard for him to feel out of control.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually when, through this conversation, I'm thinking, maybe because he's always about the bedtime and this time and that time. It's like, I'm going to sit him down and we're going to write all these times out. This is the time that you are in bed. This is the time that you brush your teeth, and let him decide those times.
Great.
And, and then just let him, if it's 10 o'clock at night that he wants to go to bed, I'm going to say, all right. But if you can't get up in the morning, then that's going to change. But all right, you want that, then you write it down, and then we're going to stick to it.
Great. Let's try that and see if it works. And then, make the agreement that how will we know if it's working? How will we know if it's not? And, how long will we let it go before we change it? Give him as much opportunity to be part of that part, that tweaking it and changing it as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's hard to do if you think we're going to do it.
It is. So. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Great call, everybody. You guys are awesome. Keep breathing. Keep talking to yourself. You're doing great, and I know it's frustrating. But you're doing the right stuff. You just got to keep doing it and reconnecting. Every time you can, reconnect to, wow, this is hard for him too, you know?
Yep. Gotcha.
Okay. All right. Y'all take care.
Thank you.
Have a great week. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.